Good morning. Let us pray. Father God, we're so appreciative to be your children, coming to you knowing that the path before us, if we follow it, is the path that you have designed for us to walk. Father, we live in a tumultuous world with so much going on and so many people suffering. Father, help us to be a light shining in a dark place so that when people are with us, they can say, that's Jesus' son. That's Jesus' daughter. Father, help us to be forgiving, loving, kind, all the things that you want for us. Be with Pastor Della this morning as she's going to do the introduction for the Beatitudes. And that's the way that you want us to live. So help us to listen, to digest it in our hearts, and to take it with us today. Father, I want to pray for Mike and Jean as they're preaching in different churches this morning. Father, help them to be a light to the church that they're in and to preach your word powerfully and for it to resonate in the hearts of everybody there. Father, I want to pray for Ukraine this morning. My Ukrainian family that lives with us, God, her mother is coming over for the summer to help her with the children, but the bombing is so bad, Father, that I pray that she gets out safely and that you protect her, Father, because he'll be staying there. Father, thank you for my daughter, Joy, and Christina. Father, be with Joy as she is trying her best to get back to being herself, which is a loving, happy, outward child. And I want to thank you for the children that you gave us, God. Help us to be the best parents that we can be. Father, I want to pray for Rick's friend, Luke, who is going through a really difficult time now with addiction. Father, and also I pray for Brindley, who just died of an overdose, that you'll be with her family and everybody that knew her. Father, there's so many opiates and things all over the world now, killing so many people. We just pray, Father, for an answer how to help these people, God. Father, I pray for April's landlord as he fights cancer, Father. I think he just had his last treatment, but I do pray for total remission from his cancer. Father, I also pray for Mike, Pastor Mike's brother, who has incurable cancer. Father, please be with him, and I pray that everybody that's suffering in our church and all over the world will turn to you, the author and perfecter of our faith, the hope we have in you, Father. Life is useless without you, God, and it makes no sense. Father, be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is the Beatitudes, and it's found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. This is, of course, speaking of Jesus. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the daughters and sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Morning. Thank you very much, Beth. Thank you, Jim. And thank you, Shayla. This morning, we will be doing the introduction to the Beatitudes. I'm filling in for Pastor Gene because he is over in Danvers preaching for Elijah, and Pastor Mike is in Derry, so Shayla and I are holding down the fort here, and Jim. So here we go. So we're talking about, this is the introduction. We're going to have about 2 months worth of getting into the Beatitudes to follow. Let me just set the stage this morning. If you think about where we are and how this is all happening, Jesus is preparing for his public ministry. He appears as a preacher, and he extends himself to those who recognize his unique status and his mission. It is in Matthew 3:2 that Jesus calls all to repent for the kingdom of heaven. This is happening right now in Galilee, and then, of course, to extend all throughout the Holy Lands. Matthew 4:18, Jesus calls his first four disciples, and that is John, James, Andrew, and Simon Peter. These disciples were called, and as you remember, as you read, it says, "Follow me," right? This literally means "come behind me." And it immediately suggests that we're talking about a disciple and a rabbi. Disciples are those who listen, learn, but also act. So this is when Jesus calls them to become fishers of men. Right, because they were fishermen. If you think about Jesus' ministry, disciples are essential to his ministry, not only back then, but even today. Which brings us to the Sermon on the Mount. That is where Jesus is teaching and preaching, mostly to his committed, right, to the disciples, but there were so many others who followed and listened as well. However, today we're going to set some preliminary comments in there, help us to really interpret and understand and apply the sermon to our own lives. Right, because we can all sit here and listen, but if we're not using it and applying it out in the world, it's for naught. When Jesus teaches us, he is teaching us about our own character. He's teaching us about our duties, the attitudes we have, the dangers that we might face, especially more then, right, than now, not here and so much in the United States, although we face some persecution here too. So first, let's understand that these eight qualities that we're going to be talking about should be lived out by every Christian. These are the standards, right, of when we call the Lord our Savior and the Spirit dwells within us. Jesus isn't telling us that we are going to be saved by these things. That we are actually, because we are saved, we should live in this way. Our conduct must flow out of our character, right? As Christian, we embrace and embody these Beatitudes. Another way to say it is if we want to be following Christ, then we should have each and every one of these qualities that he's talking about in the Beatitude, not just one, but all of them. So with that being said, the Beatitudes are a package deal, right? We can't just pick one and say, okay, we like that one or we don't like that one. We can't say, I'm just not merciful. I'm just not a peacemaker. oh, but I'm okay. I'm for righteousness. No, that isn't how that goes. It's all of them, all eight. Oswald Chambers says, we can't pick the easy ones and ignore the difficult ones, like being pure and being prepared for persecution. Incidentally, most of the Beatitudes are exactly the opposite of what we want to do. While easy to appreciate, they're definitely difficult to apply. Chuck Swindoll, in commenting on the beauty of the Beatitude, writes this: most sermons are more negative than positive, more like scathing rebukes than affirmations. Not this one. With the beauty and the simplicity, using the terms of any age, and anyone can understand what Jesus brought, and he didn't bring condemnation, he actually brought blessings. Having endured a lifetime of verbal assaults by the scribes and the Pharisees, those multitudes that were on that mound must have thought they died and went to heaven to hear such a blessing. Jesus has three main activities: preaching, calling, and healing. His first sermon is very short and right to the point, and that is verse 17 in chapter 4. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. When Jesus called his first, he started building his team. We read it's two sets of brothers who dropped everything to follow him. And then healing. As Jesus preached the good news, he also healed the hurting. Verse 24 tells us that news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering from severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them all. As a result, in verse 25, it paints the picture of a large crowd. For all over the region, they came. Third point I want to cover today is behavior must flow out of our beliefs. It's not only important to know what we believe, but we must understand how to behave. While Jesus teaches that this throughout the Sermon on the Mount, these opening words deal with the character of each and every Christian. It is necessary for us to behave as Christians inside these walls, but everywhere else too in our day-to-day. Jesus wants us to seek the applaud of heaven. Some translations have used the word happy instead of blessed, as we heard in the Beatitudes, to describe those that it's an expression of discipleship. I don't think this does the justice to the original Greek way or language. While there was a close connection between holiness and happiness, this phrase conveys how God views people who live in a certain way, right? The way we're supposed to live. Who do you want to please? God or yourself? God or your family? God or your friends? If you want God's blessing, each and every one of you can have it. First and foremost, you need to be putting him first above everything else, including yourself, your family, and your friends. Let's look at the first two verses of chapter 5 as Jesus prepares to preach. Now, when he saw the crowd, there were two different types of people that are coming forth during this time, and that is his disciples, the ones that are committed to him, and they know. They're the ones following him. But because word had spread, there were so many more that came about. They may not have understood what they were hearing. They may not have been committed, but they were listening. They were curious, right? When Jesus came, as you can see, multitudes came. There were lots of people, and they would press up against him. It would be hard for him to be able to preach. But what would happen is he would have to, like, kind of withdraw or go up to the mountainside, right? Then this is where the Sermon on the Mount comes. While Jesus may have pulled back from the multitude on occasions, he loved to minister to the crowds. Matthew 9:37 says, when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. It is clear that while the sermon is, you know, really trying to address the committed, he wanted all of that were there to be able to listen and hear and learn. Mark 12:37 says that when the crowd paid attention to Jesus, they did so with great delight. He went up to the mountainside. While Jesus communicated to the crowd, he was not swayed by their accolades. He wasn't there because he wanted their praises. He wanted to pour his life into his disciples so that they could learn and be like him. Jesus is making things a little bit more challenging by making these folks climb a hill, right? Although it was actually a small mountain in Capernaum. This area allowed for Jesus to be heard everywhere. So even though the crowd was huge, everybody heard him. There are some sharp contrasts when we look at, like, the Old Testament versus the New Testament. So when we look at Moses, who came down from the mountain, right, and gave the law, whereas Jesus went up to the mountain, right? When the commandments were dictated, there was thunder and lightning and crashing, and there was through the stillness, right? And this is in Exodus 19:18. When Jesus spoke, people listened without fear or trembling. And as grace and truth penetrated their lives, when the law came, the people had been told to keep their distance in Exodus 19:12. Now they are invited to come near and sit down. It was very common back in that day for the preachers to sit. Unfortunately, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus' crowds were so big and they would push up against him and he would have no space. So it says in Luke 5:3 that he had to go into a boat, right? It says, then he sat down and taught the people from the boat because he had to have some space to speak, right? And if he's like me, his hands are moving, right? When Jesus spoke, people were moved because they had never heard anybody speak with such clarity and conviction. Imagine if you were there. How awesome would that have been? This is evident that Sermon on the Mount, in the last two verses, chapter 7, where Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teachings because he taught as one who had authority and not one who was teaching the law. His disciples came to him. Again, when we're talking about disciples, you all need to understand because you are his disciples as well. Though we are students, we are to learn just as they did. In that time, they didn't have colleges that people go to and carry around big books, as I was telling everybody this morning I had to do. But what they did is if you wanted to be a lawyer, you would go and be with an experienced lawyer. If you wanted to be a shepherd, you would hang out with shepherds. If you wanted to catch fish, then you would hang out with fishermen. The basic point is that you would hang out with a teacher that you wanted to be like. So I guess you could say, like, I hang out with Gene and Mike because I inspire to be like them someday. There are three attitudes that we as Christian followers should have in our lives. And it should be very evident. Just as the first Christ followers, they loved Jesus with their hearts and souls. At the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus asked Peter a question three different times. Do you love me? This is really the ultimate question, right? Do we love Jesus? Because the disciples were developing a love for their master, they came near to him. They did not want to miss anything he had to say. And so they hung on every last word. If you and I say that we love Jesus, we will get closer to him, as close as we possibly can get. And what a better teacher than Jesus. We need to learn from him. We see this in verse 2, and he began to teach them. Jesus is known as the master teacher. Wouldn't we want to learn from nothing but the best? And according to Matthew 11:1, he continually looked for opportunities to teach. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the whole town of Galilee. Bless you. Here are two actions that we should take. We must always remember that we have so much more to learn. We have not arrived and we don't know it all. And how do we learn? Is to study the gospel. We need to go, as we go through the Beatitudes, I encourage you to allow them to penetrate your head, your heart, and your hands, meaning take action. But we have some time as we're learning through them to really apply them each and every day. And thirdly, let's live out what we learn, right? If we say we love Jesus, we will do whatever it takes to get close to him. Give up our busy schedules. Take time and spend time and quiet the chaos of the world. We must make time to listen. And then we can live it out. Jesus puts it in Luke 6:40 this way. A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. In conclusion to this preaching, Jesus he talks about those who hear the word and put them into action versus those who sit and listen to a sermon and their lives aren't changed at all. Every teacher wants someone to be able to use the skills that they give to you, and Jesus included. A couple ways that we can live out what we learn is we can cultivate an obedient heart. And the true test is whether we love Jesus and if we're learning from him, if we're actually putting in his words into action. And when we learn something, we should apply it and live it out. Are you guys not caught in the common thread here? It's not just sitting here listening to me preach this to you. It's not going to be the next 2 months of Gene preaching this to you. It is you guys taking action and making a difference in this world. Jesus said it strongly in John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Live out one beatitude each day. Ask God for grace to apply these individually. While we're going to be learning them together over the next couple months, really take that time and put them into practice. Jesus is calling us today to love him more by getting closer to him. He longs for us to learn from him. He is pleased when we live and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. How are you guys going to respond to that? What are you going to do? Really take time and think about that. So as we allow, we go forward and we're allowing for the Beatitudes to penetrate in our minds and our hearts, I want us to kind of take a look at this Hebrews 10, 11 through 14. As we get ready, I'm going to have to actually read this one, so I'll need the glasses. I'm going to go ahead and do this for us. So day in Hebrews 10, 11, 14, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duty. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifice which cannot take away the sin. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he made perfect forever those who are being made holy. I'd like you all to sit back and just relax and enjoy this video that I'm going to show right now.
Matthew. Matthew.
Rabbi.
I've got it.
The opening?
Yes.
What is it?
A map.
A what?
Directions. Where people should look to find me.
Okay. Give me a moment. Ready? Rabbi?
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven.
Yes. But how is it the map?
If someone wants to find me, those are the groups they should look for.
And then?
You are the salt of the earth.
Jesus is calling you. You are his chosen one, just as the 12 were. Are you listening? Are you ready? Take some time. Really look at the Beatitudes as we get ready to come into them and study them together. And really let them get into your heart and your head. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank you. We know we are privileged to be chosen. We thank you, Lord, because you love us so much that you would give us a map and instructions to follow. We just need to be listening and learning and preparing, taking action where you call us to take action. We each have our own path to follow. But Lord, you have laid it out for us and you did not make it questionable. It is very clear what you're calling us to. We are called to be your disciples, to be your followers, to give up all everything else, Lord, and to love you and get as close to you as we possibly can. We praise you, Lord, and thank you for this opportunity, Lord, and we ask that you just prepare us for what comes next. Lord God, all the glory goes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do we have ushers today? Wonderful. If the ushers can please come forward, we will take the tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Father, as we lay before you our financial offering, we give you all that we are and everything that you have entrusted to us. Please bless these gifts.